Nowhere can man find a quieter or more untroubled retreat than in his own soul. Most people never notice when their strength begins to fade. It doesn't happen all at once. It dissolves quietly, hidden beneath noise and routine. Every day becomes filled with reactions instead of decisions, distractions instead of thought. The mind grows crowded with the voices of others until it can no longer hear itself. You start to feel it in the moments between obligations, in the hollow space after achievement. Something in you begins to reject the constant pull of the world, the endless need to respond, to prove, to belong. You start to sense that freedom isn't found in more connection, but in less. So you step back. You don't announce it or explain it. You simply begin to disappear into your own silence. The absence feels strange at first, almost hostile. The mind panics in the quiet, searching for noise to fill it. But if you endure that discomfort long enough, something begins to shift. The silence stops feeling empty. It starts to feel clean. You begin to see the structure of your own thoughts with a clarity that life rarely allows. Each passing hour strips away a layer of confusion. What's left is sharper, calmer, truer. This is where the real path begins, not in comfort or recognition, but in isolation. Solitude becomes the forge where identity is melted down and reforged into order. Every distraction that once diluted your strength falls away. What remains is you, the disciplined, deliberate version buried under years of noise, and in that stillness, the foundation of mastery begins to form. In solitude, the noise of the world fades until only thought remains. The loner begins here, in silence, away from the endless murmur of opinions, demands, and performance. The room is still. The air carries no echo. There is only the rhythm of breath and the quiet weight of existence. In this absence, the mind becomes visible. Distractions fall away, revealing what has been avoided, the unfiltered self. This is where discipline begins, not as effort, but as observation. The Stoics called it the return to reason, the act of standing alone with clarity, unclouded by desire or approval. A person who walks this path does not do so out of resentment or rejection of the world. They move away because they have understood its pull. Constant stimulation weakens the ability to think clearly. Endless company dulls the capacity to know oneself. The loner's first lesson is that isolation is not punishment. It is purification. Every hour in silence strengthens the ability to remain composed when surrounded by noise again. The mind becomes a citadel, self-contained and sovereign. At first, solitude feels unnatural. The absence of validation exposes old habits. There is a subtle anxiety that comes from not being seen, not being needed, not being engaged. The modern mind, conditioned by endless connection, struggles to detach. But as the Stoics warned, dependence breeds fragility. Epictetus taught that what disturbs a person is not events, but their judgments about them. The loner learns to remove judgment from solitude and see it as alignment, not exile. The unease softens into calm when the mind realizes it has nothing to prove. The world glorifies social activity, but most of it is distraction disguised as engagement. People gather to escape their thoughts, not to refine them. They seek comfort in crowds because silence reveals confusion. The loner reverses this instinct. They turn away from noise to understand their mind's architecture. Each hour alone becomes construction. The self that emerges is not reactive. It acts according to principle. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself, "Nowhere can man find a quieter or more untroubled retreat than in his own soul. This retreat is not a hiding place. It is a command post." When solitude matures, perception changes. the eyes no longer look outward for confirmation. The world appears slower, clearer. Decisions lose the urgency of competition. The loner learns to see patterns others miss because attention is not divided. Every interaction becomes deliberate. Every movement is intentional. This level of presence transforms ordinary moments into instruments of training. Making tea becomes meditation. Cleaning a room becomes the restoration of order. Discipline merges with existence itself. In solitude, time stretches. Without interruptions, a day becomes long enough to rebuild the self. The loner studies their habits with precision. They notice impulses before they solidify into action. They see how emotion seeks expression through words, how restlessness invents errands to avoid stillness. The stoic discipline of awareness takes form here. One becomes both observer and participant, capable of directing thought rather than being directed by it. Seneca wrote that the greatest empire is to rule oneself. Solitude is that empire's founding ground. The modern era makes solitude rare. Constant access to others has become a substitute for meaning. A person can fill every moment with updates, messages, and artificial connection. The loner breaks this pattern deliberately. They understand that presence in the digital world comes at the cost of absence in the real one. By stepping away from constant engagement, they regain command over attention. The energy once scattered across screens returns to the center. Focus strengthens like a muscle long neglected. At first, withdrawal exposes dependence. The mind craves stimulation. The body reaches for the phone. Silence feels heavy. But endurance through this discomfort is the purification process itself. The loner does not seek comfort in emptiness. They learn to breathe inside it until it becomes natural. Each moment of restraint builds resilience. Each refusal to escape solidifies control. Solitude becomes a forge where reaction burns away, leaving reason uncorrupted. The path of the loner demands structure. Without self-directed order, isolation decays into aimlessness. The disciplined loner lives by ritual. They wake with purpose, move with clarity, and maintain the order of their environment. These small disciplines keep the mind aligned. The room reflects the state of the self. When one is in disorder, so is the other. Cleaning, writing, reading, training, all become acts of self-governance. The loner becomes their own leader. As days pass, solitude deepens from external condition to internal posture. It is no longer about being physically alone. It becomes the capacity to remain unmoved, even when surrounded by people. The loner learns emotional independence. They stop seeking reaction as a sign of worth. Praise and criticism lose their power. This is the point of detachment. Stoicism calls it indifference to externals, the understanding that what is beyond control must not control the inner state. In this calm neutrality, freedom begins. The crowd moves by imitation. The loner moves by conviction. Where most seek alignment with trends, the solitary mind aligns with principle. They study their values until they become second nature. Every decision runs through the filter of reason, not emotion. The result is consistency. Others drift between impulses. The loner stays centered. This stability confuses people conditioned to chaos. It makes the loner appear distant, but distance is the price of integrity. As the inner silence strengthens, perception refines. The loner begins to sense what others miss. The tone of insincerity, the pull of distraction, the hidden motives behind action. This awareness is not paranoia, it is lucidity. Solitude sharpens intuition because noise no longer interferes with signal. The loner sees patterns of behavior, both in themselves and others, with clinical accuracy. They no longer waste emotion on what they cannot change. Detachment becomes wisdom. The modern world fears loneliness because it exposes dependence. The loner embraces it because it reveals strength. To walk alone is to realize that connection without clarity is weakness. Relationships built on need collapse under pressure. The loner cultivates relationships by choice, not compulsion. They give without attachment and detach without resentment. This form of engagement is clean, unclouded by dependency. The Stoic maxim applies perfectly: love people, but remain free. As solitude deepens, a paradox forms. The loner becomes more connected to the essence of life by stepping away from its noise. When distraction fades, nature becomes vivid again. The texture of light, the movement of air, the rhythm of the body. Awareness expands outward. Mountains, wind, and silence mirror the calm of the mind. This is where isolation transforms into transcendence. The person who once sought to escape the world now understands their unity with it through discipline and detachment. Walking alone becomes an act of meditation. Each step is proof of endurance. The loner moves through the world without belonging to it. They observe the noise of others as one observes weather, uncontrollable, passing, irrelevant to inner climate. In this posture, life simplifies. Effort becomes pure. Work, rest, and reflection merge into one continuous state of focused existence. The loner no longer reacts, they conduct. The longer one walks this path, the more they understand how fragile external identity is. Roles, possessions, and social labels lose their weight. What remains is essence, conduct, principle, and awareness. This reduction is power. When nothing external defines the self, nothing external can threaten it. The loner becomes untouchable not by aggression, but by absence of need. As Marcus Aurelius wrote, "He who lives in harmony with himself lives in harmony with the universe." This harmony does not remove challenge. Solitude sharpens the edges of experience. Without distraction, pain feels sharper, boredom heavier, time slower. Yet through this exposure, resilience grows. The loner faces discomfort directly until it loses power. They discover that most suffering comes from resistance, not reality. Acceptance becomes strength. This acceptance is not surrender. It is the calm understanding of cause and effect. Events are neutral. The judgment makes them heavy or light. As the loner's mind becomes ordered, their external life follows. Work becomes cleaner. Goals become fewer but more meaningful. Energy no longer scatters across trivial pursuits. Attention becomes currency spent only on what aligns with principle. This economy of focus builds power. The disciplined loner achieves more with less movement because every action carries intention. Waste disappears. Time, once consumed by distraction, becomes an ally. In solitude, truth surfaces. Without the noise of influence, false narratives collapse. The loner sees their fears, ambitions, and weaknesses without disguise. This honesty is the foundation of growth. Self-deception ends where solitude begins. The person who can sit in silence without fleeing into stimulation has met the core of themselves. From that meeting, strength is built. No philosophy, stoic or otherwise, matters until it is lived through this direct encounter. Detachment does not mean indifference to life. It means clarity about control. The loner learns to act fully within their sphere of influence and release all else. They train the mind to return to what can be done, not what is wished. This precision removes wasteful emotion. Serenity is not passive, it is active discipline. The calm face of the loner hides relentless internal order. What others call peace is actually power restrained. People often mistake solitude for emptiness. In reality, it is fullness without noise. the loner experiences a deeper connection to meaning because nothing interrupts the signal. They feel the weight of existence directly, the impermanence of time, the fragility of life, the brevity of moments. This awareness produces gratitude, not despair. Every sunrise becomes a lesson in renewal. Every breath becomes a reminder of responsibility. The loner carries this quiet awareness into action. In solitude, clarity becomes a weapon. The loner sees through manipulation, marketing, and cultural pressure. They are no longer shaped by trends because they have studied their motives. Discipline protects them from deception. Where others chase appearance, the loner pursues essence. This integrity is rare and therefore powerful. It commands respect without seeking it. The presence of such a person changes the energy of any room they enter. Eventually, solitude ceases to be a condition and becomes a state of consciousness. The loner carries silence within them. Crowds no longer drain them because the inner citadel stands intact. They can engage with society without losing alignment. This is the Stoics' true freedom, the ability to remain themselves in all environments. External events fluctuate, but internal order holds steady. This constancy is the mark of mastery. Through solitude, the loner discovers that purpose is not found through others, but through conduct. The meaning of life condenses into the act of living well, regardless of circumstance. Each day becomes a field for practice, of patience, restraint, reason, and gratitude. The world tests these virtues constantly. The loner welcomes the test because it proves endurance. Challenge reveals progress. Adversity becomes the classroom of character. When solitude has done its work, the loner no longer resists isolation nor seeks it. They exist beyond both dependence and avoidance. Whether among people or alone, their center does not shift. This is the equilibrium of the Stoic mind, the ability to remain upright in chaos. The loner becomes a mirror of nature itself, still in essence, dynamic in form. Mountains stand alone, yet they sustain rivers. The disciplined person stands alone, yet their strength sustains others. The path of the loner is not an escape, it is a return to discipline, clarity, and truth. Every retreat from noise is a step toward understanding. Every silence is instruction. The world values performance. The loner values composure. They know that the one who can govern their inner state has already conquered the hardest territory. From this foundation, all action becomes clean, all endurance meaningful, all solitude complete. In this posture, the loner walks through life with quiet authority. Their presence no longer depends on validation or conflict. They embody the principle that strength requires no announcement. The world cannot shake what it cannot reach. And in that calm, disciplined solitude, the loner discovers the rarest freedom, the ability to be whole, even when standing alone. Mastery through solitude begins when silence no longer feels like a condition, but a companion. The loner, seasoned by distance, carries stillness like armor. Every noise that once demanded reaction now passes through without leaving a mark. This calm is not learned through theory, but through endurance. Hours, days, and years of disciplined solitude refine perception, until the boundary between self and silence dissolves. What remains is a person who no longer seeks withdrawal, because they are withdrawal embodied. At this stage, solitude ceases to be about absence. It becomes presence in its purest form. The loner walks into crowded streets and still feels the hush of the mountain air. They listen without absorption, observe without judgment, and act without inner turbulence. The composure they carry disarms chaos. People feel it, though few understand it. It is not confidence, it is certainty rooted in alignment. The loner no longer guards their peace. It is self-sustaining. This mastery does not come from rebellion against society, but from precise understanding of it. The loner sees that most of human activity is a search for distraction. The mind, afraid of stillness, multiplies tasks and desires. The disciplined solitary person refuses this cycle. They live with intentional scarcity, choosing only what strengthens focus. They no longer consume information without aim. They speak less, listen more, and measure every word against principle. What remains after this refinement is purity of mind, sharp, exact, unbending. As solitude deepens, memory transforms into wisdom. Past mistakes are no longer emotional weights, but structured lessons. Every failure becomes material for reconstruction. The loner analyzes, not regrets. This reflective detachment is the foundation of command. They no longer respond to memory as identity, but as data. Seneca wrote that to study philosophy is to learn how to live. In solitude, that study is continuous and personal. Each reflection reshapes conduct until error itself becomes fuel for virtue. The loner begins to experience mastery as rhythm. Waking early is no longer an act of willpower, it is instinct. Training, reading, thinking, resting, each follows an inner cadence. The day feels designed, not endured. Routine becomes art, and repetition no longer dulls but sharpens. Where others grow bored, the loner grows precise. They understand that mastery is not variety but refinement, the perfection of simple acts performed with presence. This devotion to craft, whether in thought or action, builds an invisible strength that others can sense but cannot define. Emotional control reaches its highest form through neutrality. The loner does not repress emotion. They observe it as movement within the self. Anger, fear, and desire lose their pull because they are recognized immediately. This awareness separates impulse from action. Reaction dies before birth. The person becomes transparent to themselves. This transparency grants control so complete that calm becomes their natural temperature. Marcus Aurelius described it perfectly. You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength. The loner lives within that realization. At the level of mastery, solitude transforms into discipline in motion. Every gesture reflects command. The voice lowers. The pace of thought slows. Conversations gain weight because each word carries intention. There is no need to prove intelligence or morality. Presence conveys both. The loner has moved beyond performance. They are no longer interested in appearing wise. They aim only to live wisely. This silent competence creates an aura that draws respect from the thoughtful and unease from the careless. Even physical space changes meaning. The room of the loner is organized with precision. Nothing is random. Each object has purpose. This order is not decoration. It is philosophy materialized. The environment mirrors the mind, both free from excess. The quiet of the room becomes a reflection of the inner citadel. Such alignment creates efficiency that feels effortless. The loner moves through their space as if through a temple of conduct, each motion reaffirming discipline. Mastery through solitude reveals that peace is a form of strength. It cannot be borrowed or performed. It must be built through continuous refinement of thought. The loner practices this through restraint, choosing silence when words would waste energy, patience when emotion provokes haste, and clarity when confusion offers escape. These small acts, multiplied daily, produce an internal gravity that no chaos can disturb. Where others need retreat, the loner simply remains. At this depth, solitude becomes identical with freedom. To depend on nothing is to lose nothing. The loner's composure is not indifference but independence. They do not seek escape from life, they participate in it cleanly. Every relationship, every task, every interaction is guided by choice, not compulsion. This is the essence of Stoic mastery. To act in alignment with reason and remain calm amid uncertainty. Solitude has refined the loner into the purest form of order, a person who governs themselves without witness, without applause, without hesitation. With time, even the concept of solitude fades. The loner does not think in terms of isolation or inclusion. They have transcended the distinction. Whether walking alone through the night or sitting in a crowded hall, they remain internally silent, steady, and awake. Their mastery no longer seeks acknowledgement because its validation comes from conduct alone. They live as the Stoics envisioned, self-contained, disciplined, and free. The path of solitude has reached its permanence, not through escape, but through understanding. Creation begins when solitude matures into focus. Once the noise of validation has been stripped away, the mind's energy redirects toward building. The loner no longer wastes thought defending or explaining themselves. All attention turns inward, then forward. The silence that once purified now becomes productive. In this stillness, ideas take root. Creativity is no longer a burst of inspiration. It is a disciplined practice born of structure and self-command. Isolation refines the creative process because it eliminates distortion. Without the constant presence of external opinion, imagination expands naturally. There is no pressure to please, no competition for approval. The loner can follow thought to its edge without interruption. This unbroken concentration is rare in a world addicted to reaction. It allows for depth that cannot be achieved under distraction. From this uninterrupted attention, true originality emerges. The loner's ideas do not imitate, they crystallize. Every act of creation begins with stillness. The artist, the thinker, the builder, all require solitude to hear the quiet voice beneath surface noise. In isolation, this voice becomes clear. It speaks through intuition, through subtle flashes of understanding. The loner learns to trust it because they have learned to listen. Creativity is not chaos. It is the disciplined translation of insight into form. The Stoics understood this principle. A mind in order produces beauty naturally, as consequence, not as aim. The creative power of isolation lies in its rhythm. The loner works in cycles of silence and expression. They retreat to observe, then act to shape what they have seen. Each return to solitude restores clarity. Each act of creation tests discipline. Over time, this oscillation forms a life pattern. The loner becomes a conduit, absorbing, refining, expressing. Their solitude is not withdrawal, but incubation. Every quiet moment stores potential energy, waiting to be converted into substance. In the absence of applause, the creative loner builds for truth alone. Their measure of success is accuracy to vision, not reaction. This purity makes their work durable. What is made from clarity carries clarity. In a world flooded by imitation, authenticity becomes magnetic. The loner's work draws attention without effort because it resonates with something universal, the integrity of something made in silence. Seneca wrote that to be content with little is great wealth. The same principle applies to creation. To make with less noise is to produce more meaning. Isolation strips away the illusion of inspiration as accident. The disciplined loner knows that creativity is a muscle, strengthened by repetition. They train daily, thinking, writing, designing, building, with or without excitement. This constancy converts potential into mastery. The process becomes its own motivation. When solitude becomes the workspace, The mind no longer resists the blank page or the empty canvas. It welcomes them as mirrors of its own clarity. Work becomes meditation. The creative loner treats their environment as an instrument. Light, space, temperature, silence, all are adjusted to support focus. Every object serves purpose. The workspace becomes an extension of the mind's architecture. Nothing distracts, everything aligns. This design of surroundings reflects the Stoic principle of self-governance. Control what is within reach, accept what is not. Order in the external world reinforces order within. In this harmony, creativity flows without friction. Isolation also sharpens problem-solving. Deprived of constant feedback, the loner must think deeper, analyze cleaner, and sustain momentum without encouragement. Each obstacle becomes a test of reasoning. The mind, forced to rely on itself, grows agile. This independence creates intellectual endurance. Where others collapse under uncertainty, the loner explores it. They learn that innovation requires discomfort, the willingness to stay in confusion long enough for clarity to emerge. As solitude deepens, creation takes on a spiritual quality. Work becomes a dialogue between the conscious and the eternal. The loner senses patterns that link all things: the geometry of thought, the rhythm of nature, the symmetry of ideas. In this communion, creativity becomes revelation. It is no longer about making something new, but about aligning with what already exists in potential. The Stoics would call this living according to nature, the act of cooperating with universal reason. The process refines humility. Isolation removes both praise and criticism, forcing the creator to rely on internal standards. There is no audience to inflate the ego, no opposition to provoke defense. The only question becomes, is this true? The loner measures their work by its fidelity to principle. This discipline prevents corruption by vanity. Greatness, when it arises, is quiet. It is the result of thousands of uncelebrated repetitions performed with unwavering integrity. In solitude, the act of creation cleanses thought. Each completed work resets the mind. Expression becomes release, allowing focus to return stronger. The loner learns to create not to impress, but to understand. Their art becomes philosophy in motion, a visible form of inner order. Whether through words, structures, or systems, each creation reflects the same principle: control the controllable, shape what is within reach, and let the rest dissolve. The creative loner also understands the necessity of rest. Periods of inactivity are not waste, but incubation. Just as fields must lie fallow to remain fertile, the mind must pause to renew depth. Solitude provides this rhythm naturally. After immersion in work, the loner steps back into silence. Insight reorganizes itself. Solutions appear without strain. This alternation between exertion and stillness forms the cycle of sustainable creation. The result is longevity, output without exhaustion. As the loner grows through creative isolation, they become immune to comparison. They no longer measure progress against others. Their standard is internal coherence. The work either aligns with principle or it does not. This independence liberates imagination from conformity. Trends lose significance. Popularity loses control. The loner's only pursuit is refinement. This makes their contribution timeless. What is built from silence does not age quickly. Creativity under solitude also strengthens resilience. Failure loses its sting because it becomes information. Each misstep reveals structure. The loner dissects error without shame. They see how each imperfect attempt sharpens perception. Through this methodical patience, skill compounds quietly. Mastery becomes inevitable because the process itself is continuous. Where others stop for approval, the loner continues for understanding. Isolation, properly used, converts pain into precision. Emotional difficulty becomes creative material. Loneliness transforms into focus. Frustration fuels analysis. The loner does not suppress feeling, they redirect it. Every strong emotion, instead of scattering the mind, becomes fuel for structure. In this way, creation becomes a form of healing. The mind, disciplined by solitude, purifies emotion through form. The Stoics viewed reason as the highest human faculty, the power to transform chaos into order. The creative loner embodies this principle daily. Each project, each idea, is a microcosm of this transformation. They bring shape to the unformed, clarity to the confused, permanence to the fleeting. Through their work, they imitate nature itself, the ceaseless progression from disorder toward balance. This is creativity as philosophy, to impose structure where none existed, not for vanity, but for harmony. Over years of solitude-driven creation, the loner discovers that true innovation is continuity. Greatness is not born from novelty, but from consistency. They stop seeking breakthrough moments. They build through accumulation, small, deliberate improvements stacked into excellence. What others call genius is often the visible tip of decades of patient refinement. The loner understands this. Their solitude gives them the patience to build without spectacle. The creative process teaches endurance more than expression. Ideas do not always arrive complete. Many fail, most evolve. The loner develops resilience against uncertainty. They accept unfinishedness as part of creation's truth. This acceptance breeds confidence not from outcome, but from process. The act of working itself becomes proof of strength. The mind, trained through solitude, trusts itself to persist through ambiguity. As mastery grows, creativity transcends personal identity. The loner no longer creates to express self, but to reflect truth. Their work becomes anonymous in spirit. It serves a principle larger than ego. This detachment gives purity to creation. It is no longer a confession, but a contribution. In this, the loner achieves what many seek and few find, the merging of purpose with action. Isolation grants access to time differently. Hours stretch, days expand. Without social fragmentation, the loner can enter states of sustained concentration that dissolve the awareness of effort. Psychologists call it flow. The Stoics would call it unity with reason. In this state, creation feels effortless because resistance has been removed. There is no debate, no distraction, no fragmentation. There is only the act, the tool, and the hand. Through creative solitude, the loner learns an ancient truth. Freedom lies in responsibility. To control the creative process fully, one must own it entirely. There is no one else to blame for failure or success. This accountability sharpens focus. It eliminates excuses. Each result becomes a mirror reflecting discipline or deviation. The loner welcomes this exposure because it ensures honesty. There is purity in bearing the full weight of one's own creation. Eventually, the creative and the solitary merge completely. Work and being become indistinguishable. The mind thinks, the hand moves, and both follow the same rhythm. The outside world fades, but awareness heightens. Every sound, every breath, every motion carries purpose. The loner no longer seeks to escape solitude. They create within it as naturally as breathing. This union marks the highest point of creative mastery, when discipline and inspiration become one continuous act. When the work is done, the loner returns to silence without ceremony. There is no celebration, no exhaustion, only equilibrium. The creation stands as testimony to discipline, not emotion. Its value does not depend on reception. It exists as a record of order, clarity, and endurance. In this stillness after completion, the loner recognizes the true purpose of isolation, to make life itself a creative act, sculpted daily by reason and refined endlessly by solitude. Endurance is the highest test of solitude. It reveals whether stillness was strength or merely comfort. The loner who has built composure in quiet must now sustain it under pressure. When hardship arrives, there is no audience to witness resilience, no hand to pull them through. Only the discipline they have built stands between them and collapse. This is where philosophy becomes proof. The calm, practiced in silence, must now function in storm. Adversity strips life to essentials. It removes illusions about control, safety, and permanence. The loner, trained in detachment, recognizes this stripping as purification. Where others see loss, they see revelation. Hardship shows what is necessary and what was excess. This clarity, though brutal, is liberating. When comfort falls away, what remains is principle. The Stoics prepared for this through negative visualization, imagining loss to weaken its sting. The loner lives this practice directly. When misfortune strikes, they are not shocked, they adjust. Pain tests alignment. Under suffering, the untrained mind fractures, reaching for distraction or pity. The disciplined mind tightens its structure. The loner does not resist pain through denial. They contain it through awareness. Each sensation, physical or emotional, is examined without judgment. By refusing to dramatize pain, they remove its secondary weight, the story built around it. This is endurance at its purest. Pain felt cleanly, without complaint. Endurance requires rhythm, not heroism. The loner understands that survival comes through pacing. They do not rush to escape difficulty, nor sink into despair. They treat adversity as terrain to cross, not an enemy to fight. Each day they take one deliberate step. The movement itself becomes meaning. When emotion surges, they return to structure, routine, breath, repetition. This constancy turns chaos into something navigable. Where others fluctuate between panic and exhaustion, the loner moves steadily forward. Adversity refines character more precisely than solitude. Solitude builds clarity. Hardship tests it. The loner learns whether their peace was internal or circumstantial. When everything collapses, the unanchored person seeks blame. The disciplined one seeks adjustment. They measure reality as it is and act accordingly. This realism prevents despair. Stoicism teaches that events are neutral. Only judgment makes them heavy. Endurance is the art of removing unnecessary weight. Physical hardship sharpens endurance through the body. Fatigue, hunger, cold, these are teachers. The loner uses discomfort as training. They understand that the body's limits are negotiable, that pain often signals resistance rather than danger. Each moment endured without reaction expands capacity. Strength grows quietly. The mind learns that it can survive without constant relief. The more it accepts this, the freer it becomes. Comfort loses its power to corrupt. Emotional adversity demands greater precision. Isolation can magnify fear, grief, or frustration. The loner meets these emotions with the same discipline applied to thought. They observe the rise and fall of feeling like tides, inevitable, temporary, impersonal. This observation grants space between impulse and action. Emotion, once overwhelming, becomes data. Through this separation, the loner maintains direction even when the heart aches. They feel fully, but they do not yield. Endurance under adversity reveals that strength is not intensity, it is consistency. The loner's calm does not depend on motivation. They act according to principle regardless of mood. This detachment from feeling is not numbness but mastery. The disciplined mind does what must be done, even when nothing feels certain. Seneca wrote that a person who conquers their own fear conquers fate. The loner lives this line daily, not through grand gestures, but through unbroken conduct. When loss occurs, whether of people, purpose, or stability, the loner does not collapse into sentimentality. They process grief as transformation. Every end reveals a beginning concealed beneath it. Endurance turns tragedy into foundation. Each sorrow accepted without self-pity becomes a stone in the structure of resilience. The loner rebuilds quietly, without announcing pain. Their recovery is internal, methodical, and absolute. Adversity also exposes dependency. The loner learns which habits, attachments, or comforts were disguised as needs. Hardship removes the unnecessary. In this stripping, life simplifies. The fewer conditions required for stability, the stronger one becomes. When contentment depends only on conduct, external change loses its threat. This is the essence of Stoic freedom, to need less and thus fear less. As challenges intensify, the loner's endurance transforms into presence. They stop projecting outcomes. The mind stays entirely within the current moment, where control still exists. This focus eliminates anxiety. Worry cannot survive attention to the present. In hardship, this discipline is survival itself. The loner acts cleanly without hesitation, guided by principle instead of panic. Their stillness becomes force. Endurance also reveals hidden capacities. The loner discovers that effort multiplies when directed through calm. Panic exhausts energy, composure preserves it. The body obeys a composed mind more efficiently. Even under exhaustion, precision remains possible. This refinement makes the loner formidable. They conserve motion, waste nothing, and maintain command while others scatter. Their silence in crisis becomes a weapon. Long periods of adversity reconfigure identity. The loner no longer identifies as a victim or survivor. They evolve into witness, an observer of life's cycles, unbroken by them. This perspective breeds humility. They no longer demand ease from existence. They ask only for the strength to respond well. This posture removes bitterness. Gratitude replaces complaint, even in pain. Hardship becomes context, not curse. Endurance transforms perception of time. During suffering, minutes stretch. Each hour feels heavy. The loner adapts by fragmenting endurance, focusing only on the next breath, the next step, the next duty. This narrow focus creates control inside chaos. Small victories compound until the storm passes. The ability to endure one more moment becomes enough. Survival is built this way, incrementally, rationally, without illusion. In adversity, solitude proves its worth. Those who depend on comfort collapse when isolation intensifies. The loner, already practiced in silence, finds stability in the same discipline that sustained them before. They draw on habits built long before crisis. Reflection replaces panic. Observation replaces despair. While others scramble for reassurance, the loner consults reason. Their solitude has prepared them for exactly this. There are moments when endurance seems endless, when progress disappears and pain feels permanent. The loner returns to a single Stoic truth. Everything changes. No emotion, condition, or hardship endures indefinitely. This understanding keeps hope rational. The mind does not need to predict the end. It needs only to trust that change is certain. This faith, grounded in reason rather than fantasy, is indestructible. Endurance also teaches proportion. The loner learns which struggles are worth energy and which must be released. Many battles are illusions of pride or control. By withdrawing emotion from the unnecessary, energy is conserved for what truly matters. This efficiency turns adversity into education. Each hardship clarifies priorities. The person who can suffer selectively achieves mastery over both pain and purpose. When endurance becomes habitual, fear loses its meaning. The loner no longer anticipates pain as threat, but as signal. Discomfort indicates growth, resistance, or imbalance. Each serves as information. This reframing converts hardship from punishment into feedback. Life becomes training, each difficulty a lesson in composure. The loner's goal is not to avoid suffering, but to use it. Over time, adversity builds a strange calm. The loner stops expecting relief and starts expecting challenge. This expectation removes surprise. When difficulty arrives, it meets readiness, not panic. The person who expects discomfort cannot be destabilized by it. This mental posture transforms endurance into serenity. The loner's calm becomes predictive defense, a state of prepared acceptance that neutralizes shock. Through prolonged endurance, the loner reaches the threshold of transcendence. Pain, once resisted, becomes integrated. Suffering becomes signal, not story. The line between hardship and peace blurs. This synthesis marks the highest discipline, the ability to feel fully while remaining unbroken. The Stoics called this harmony with fate. The loner embodies it without declaration. They walk through adversity not untouched, but unmoved. Endurance in solitude reveals a paradox. Strength increases as resistance persists. Each trial refines conduct, tightens control, and tests principle. The loner, forged through repetition, reaches a state where endurance no longer feels like survival. It feels like identity. They have become stability itself. Crisis may continue, but it no longer defines them. Their foundation no longer cracks, it adjusts. The final stage of endurance is clarity without comfort. The loner understands that life offers no exemption from pain, only mastery within it. They stop seeking escape and focus entirely on conduct. Every act becomes proof of discipline. Every reaction becomes reflection of strength. Adversity becomes not an interruption of life, but the arena where life's philosophy is lived in full. When the storm ends, the loner does not celebrate. They clean the tools, restore the order, and continue forward. Their calm remains the same in peace as in difficulty. This constancy is the mark of true endurance, the ability to stay identical across changing conditions. Strength, once practiced long enough, becomes nature. And in that state, adversity no longer diminishes, it refines endlessly, sharpening the loner into permanence. Fatigue is the quiet frontier of endurance. It is the moment when strength stops feeling noble and begins to feel mechanical. The loner meets this threshold often. Discipline has stripped away distraction. Adversity has removed comfort, and what remains is repetition. The same motion, the same thought, the same silence. Here the real test begins. The body protests, the mind whispers of rest, reward, relief. But the disciplined one continues. They move not through motivation, but through structure. Fatigue exposes what still hides within. When energy fades, only truth remains. Pretension collapses, excuses surface, and clarity returns. The loner does not fight exhaustion as an enemy. They observe it as a messenger. Fatigue reveals where balance has been lost, where will exceeds wisdom. To endure without losing precision, they adjust pace without breaking rhythm. This awareness converts depletion into refinement. They do not burn out, they recalibrate. Repetition builds mastery through surrender. The loner understands that greatness is not in constant novelty, but in endless return to principle. Each act performed again is not duplication, but deepening. The same breath, the same step, the same thought, all executed with increasing purity. Fatigue tests the sincerity of discipline. It asks whether the work was for attention or for truth. When the answer is truth, repetition becomes sacred. The mind under fatigue begins to reveal its deeper layers. Distractions fade, self-consciousness dissolves, and what remains is essence, action without doubt. This is where endurance transforms into meditation. The loner's labor becomes prayer without words. The repetition that once felt heavy becomes rhythm, then flow, then silence. The boundary between self and task disappears. In this stillness, pain loses meaning. The body continues, the mind observes, and both exist in unity. Fatigue demands humility. It teaches that even strength must bend. The loner learns to rest without collapse, to pause without quitting. Recovery becomes part of endurance, not its opposite. True discipline is sustainable rhythm, not relentless motion. The Stoics valued temperance for this reason, the balance between effort and restoration. The loner follows this law instinctively. They know that unbroken strain leads to decay, but measured persistence leads to permanence. When repetition stretches across weeks and years, the concept of progress fades. Improvement becomes invisible. The loner no longer measures outcomes. They measure consistency. This perspective removes anxiety. They do not ask when results will appear. They ask only whether conduct remained clean today. Fatigue loses power over such a mind. Boredom cannot touch one who has found meaning in repetition. Each act is enough because it is aligned. The calm beyond pain begins here, when every physical and mental resource has been tested, and yet action continues, a shift occurs. The loner feels movement separate from strain. They realize that pain is a signal, not a limit. Beyond it lies silence, a state where the mind no longer negotiates with discomfort. This is not denial, but transcendence. The disciplined body obeys without resistance. The disciplined mind watches without judgment. What remains is clarity beyond emotion. Fatigue also refines patience. The loner learns that endurance is not measured in bursts of strength, but in quiet continuity. The ability to return each day to the same path, the same task, the same standard, defines mastery. The world praises intensity, but endurance belongs to patience. The calm beyond pain is built on waiting without complaint. Each day endured without surrender compounds into something unbreakable. When the body weakens, the mind must lead. The loner draws from principles, not energy. They act because the structure demands it. This separation between feeling and conduct is the root of control. Fatigue is irrelevant when purpose is constant. Marcus Aurelius wrote that the impediment to action advances action. Fatigue, seen through this lens, is not obstruction, but refinement. The loner moves through weariness as through weather, uncomfortable yet powerless to stop motion. At deep levels of fatigue, time distorts, minutes stretch, thoughts slow, and identity thins. The loner enters a state of pure persistence. It is neither pleasant nor painful. It simply is. This neutrality is the essence of endurance. When effort becomes existence, there is no longer a question of continuation. The act sustains itself. The calm beyond pain is not relief, but acceptance of eternal motion. The loner does not endure to reach an end. They endure because that is what they are built to do. Fatigue cleans the ego. In exhaustion, pride evaporates. There is no room for self-image when all energy is devoted to continuation. The loner discovers purity in this emptiness. Every step, every breath, every task becomes authentic. There is no performance, no comparison, no vanity. Endurance strips identity to its foundation. Action in alignment with reason. This reduction is liberation. What remains cannot break because it no longer clings to illusion. Repetition under fatigue reveals the true rhythm of growth. Each cycle of exertion and recovery expands capacity slightly, almost imperceptibly. Over years, this accumulation becomes transformation. The loner does not notice change until it is undeniable. Fatigue was the architect all along, slow, precise, unrelenting. The world chases speed, the disciplined build endurance, and in doing so, they outlast everyone. There is a serenity that only appears after long struggle. When the body trembles and the mind quiets, when exhaustion consumes the desire to quit, a strange peace surfaces. The loner enters a state of still participation. They continue, not through force, but through surrender to rhythm. This is the calm beyond pain, the merging of effort and acceptance. Suffering loses its narrative. There is only movement, steady and unbroken. The disciplined loner sees fatigue as purification. Each layer of exhaustion removes softness. What remains is clean intention. Hardship ceases to feel hostile. It becomes neutral, even necessary. They stop fearing difficulty because it no longer has the power to surprise. Fatigue becomes an ally that clarifies what truly matters. When the body and mind both tire, the soul remains alert. That awareness is the summit of endurance. Long-term repetition changes perception of reward. Pleasure is replaced by satisfaction in precision. The loner finds meaning not in finishing, but in continuing. This reversal dissolves impatience. The process becomes infinite, the outcome irrelevant. Fatigue loses grip when time itself becomes secondary. Eternity exists in the repetition of one disciplined act performed well. The calm beyond pain grants insight into all struggle. The loner begins to see hardship as motion within a larger system. Every strain fits into a universal rhythm, expansion, contraction, stillness. By aligning with this rhythm, they cease to suffer unnecessarily. Resistance causes friction. Acceptance converts friction into flow. Fatigue becomes the signal that balance must adjust, not that progress must end. In this state, the loner learns the rare art of stillness within motion. Even when the body moves, the mind remains unmoved. Thought slows to the pace of breath. Time loses sharpness. Each repetition becomes meditation. The calm beyond pain is not an escape from reality, it is immersion in it. The loner experiences effort as peace, difficulty as meaning, repetition as eternity. Over years, this discipline crystallizes into character. Fatigue no longer provokes doubt, it provokes focus. Pain no longer threatens purpose, it reaffirms it. The loner's life becomes indistinguishable from their practice. To endure is to exist. Every hardship, every repetition, every silence refines them further. They do not aim to conquer fatigue. They aim to coexist with it until no difference remains. The calm beyond pain transforms even failure. When effort itself becomes the reward, outcomes lose dominance. The loner no longer divides experience into success and failure. There is only process. This detachment brings peace impossible to those who chase results. Fatigue becomes the evidence of integrity, a mark that the work was real, that the commitment was lived, not imagined. Eventually, repetition leads to transcendence. The body continues through habit, the mind observes, and awareness expands beyond both. The loner becomes witness and participant simultaneously. Pain, fatigue, and time blend into one continuous presence. In this state, endurance becomes identity, The calm beyond pain is no longer something reached. It is what remains when everything else is gone. At this depth, even language fails to describe the experience. There is no triumph, no suffering, only still continuity. The loner walks, breathes, works, and exists in unbroken alignment. Fatigue remains, but it no longer defines. It becomes the constant hum of existence, a reminder of mortality, a rhythm of persistence. The calm beyond pain is the acceptance of that hum, the understanding that life itself is repetition, and that peace is found not in escape, but in perfect participation. Detachment is the summit of discipline. It is the state in which the loner acts without inner turbulence, where outcomes lose their power to disturb. This freedom does not come from avoidance or apathy, but from complete control of attachment. To detach is not to care less. It is to care correctly. The disciplined mind gives full effort to what is within reach, and none to what lies beyond it. This separation is the foundation of peace. The path to detachment begins with recognition of control. The loner studies each desire, each expectation, and asks whether it depends on their conduct or on circumstance. What depends on conduct is pursued with full force. What depends on chance is released. This division simplifies life. The emotional storms that consume others dissolve into clarity. The Stoics called this the dichotomy of control, and within it lies the key to all endurance. The loner practices it until it becomes reflex. Attachment breeds fragility. When peace depends on outcomes, stability becomes conditional. The loner understands that dependence creates weakness. By training the mind to separate worth from result, they eliminate anxiety at its source. Success and failure lose their emotional charge. Both are interpreted as feedback, not judgment. This neutrality does not diminish passion, it perfects it. Effort remains absolute, yet serenity remains untouched. In detachment, effort becomes pure. The loner no longer works for applause, security, or validation. They work because action itself is alignment. The reward is internal, the satisfaction of disciplined execution. When this shift occurs, energy multiplies, fatigue decreases, focus sharpens, and purpose strengthens. The endless cycle of expectation and disappointment breaks. Work becomes freedom. The modern world teaches the opposite. It glorifies constant measurement, likes, numbers, comparisons, outcomes. Every effort is converted into currency for attention. This conditioning breeds restlessness. The loner rejects it completely. They understand that no external metric can measure inner order. Detachment restores sanity in a culture addicted to noise. The mind that no longer craves validation becomes immune to manipulation. Detachment is misunderstood as indifference, but it is the highest form of involvement. The detached mind participates fully, unhindered by fear or need. This allows total immersion in the task. The present moment becomes complete. When the outcome no longer controls emotion, attention becomes absolute. This precision creates excellence that cannot be faked. The loner does not half-act or half-think. They act completely and then release. Emotional detachment begins with awareness of reaction. The loner studies the rise of emotion as they would study weather. They watch it form, swell, and dissolve. They do not suppress feeling, they observe it without becoming it. Over time, this practice creates a gap between experience and interpretation. Within that gap lies freedom. As Epictetus said, people are disturbed not by events, but by the view they take of them. Detachment means choosing that view consciously. The discipline of detachment refines every aspect of conduct. Speech becomes measured. Decisions lose haste. Relationships become cleaner. The loner no longer clings to people, outcomes, or identities. They engage with respect, but without ownership. Love becomes freer, work becomes deeper, and ambition becomes sustainable. Everything done for its own sake gains purity. When motive is clean, the result takes care of itself. Failure becomes education. Success becomes verification. Neither defines identity. The loner interprets both as signals within a larger process. This detachment removes the emotional spikes that destabilize most minds. They no longer oscillate between pride and despair. Their composure remains flat and steady, a calm horizon beneath all weather. This consistency is strength. It allows progress to continue long after others burn out. True detachment requires trust in reason. The loner learns to let life unfold without resistance. They act with precision and allow outcomes to form naturally. This is not passivity, it is intelligent patience. Control is exercised through conduct, not through demand. The mind that insists on constant control over results lives in tension. The detached mind controls only itself, and through that, controls everything indirectly. In this state, desire transforms. It no longer seeks possession, but alignment. The loner still aims high, still builds, still strives, but they do so without dependence. Desire becomes expression, not addiction. Every pursuit is an act of discipline, not craving. This shift changes the energy of ambition. What was once restless becomes peaceful. The loner no longer chases. They create and let the world respond as it will. Detachment does not remove emotion, it refines it. Joy becomes gratitude instead of indulgence. Sadness becomes reflection instead of despair. Anger becomes direction instead of destruction. The disciplined loner channels feeling into conduct. Emotion serves reason rather than ruling it. This harmony between heart and mind creates a balance that endures under all conditions. The practice of detachment begins with small acts. Delayed gratification, silence in conflict, restraint in reaction. Each one strengthens independence from outcome. Every moment of withheld impulse builds control. The loner understands that detachment is not achieved in thought, but forged in action. Discipline turns philosophy into reflex. Over time, the absence of attachment becomes the natural posture of the mind. As detachment matures, time itself feels different. The loner no longer lives in anticipation or regret. They exist within presence. The mind ceases to project scenarios or replay failures. The future becomes preparation. The past becomes instruction. This focus produces calm so deep that even chaos cannot disrupt it. When the present moment is complete, nothing can be taken away. In relationships, detachment breeds respect. The loner gives fully without controlling outcomes. They understand that affection, loyalty, or understanding cannot be forced. This clarity prevents both manipulation and disappointment. They remain kind without dependence, generous without expectation. Such neutrality is rare, and it gives their presence gravity. People feel safe near one who does not demand. Material detachment follows the same principle. The loner values utility over possession. Objects serve purpose, not identity. This freedom from accumulation sharpens focus. Energy once spent maintaining excess returns to creation. Wealth ceases to mean ownership. It becomes order. The fewer things owned, the more space the mind retains for clarity. The loner's world becomes lean, deliberate, and efficient. The calm born from detachment resembles emptiness, but it is fullness contained. The mind no longer clings or chases. It holds peace as its natural state. This composure radiates into action. Decisions are faster because they are free from confusion. Movement becomes graceful because it is unburdened by fear. Detachment transforms control from tension into fluency. At high levels of detachment, adversity loses sting. The loner sees events unfold without assigning tragedy or triumph. Every experience becomes neutral information to interpret and use. This rational acceptance turns chaos into data. The disciplined mind navigates any environment because it treats every outcome as material for improvement. Nothing is wasted when judgment remains clean. Eventually, detachment evolves into serenity under all change. Praise and blame sound identical. Gain and loss carry the same weight. The loner exists in equilibrium, acting with precision and receiving with calm. This balance is not emotional dullness. It is complete understanding of proportion. When everything external becomes secondary, the internal remains absolute. The Stoic concept of amor fati, the love of fate, emerges naturally here. The loner no longer resists what happens. They accept it, not as resignation, but as participation. They act rightly and let the universe respond as it will. This trust creates unshakable confidence. Nothing can truly harm one who cooperates with necessity. Every event becomes fuel for growth. Detachment is the ultimate protection. When peace depends on conduct alone, nothing external can injure it. Loss cannot unbalance, success cannot intoxicate. The loner carries stillness into every environment. This composure makes them unpredictable to manipulation and immune to despair. They become ungovernable by praise or threat. That is real freedom. To live detached is to live disciplined. Each decision is made by principle, not emotion. Each action stands alone, complete in itself. Life simplifies. The noise of approval, comparison, and fear fades into distance. What remains is clarity. The loner moves through the world without friction because they have ceased to struggle against what is beyond reach. This freedom expands perception. The detached mind sees beauty in order, meaning in repetition, peace in limitation. Nothing is missing because nothing is demanded. Gratitude replaces desire. This perspective transforms even hardship into harmony. To the detached, all things are instructive. The calm of detachment carries authority. People sense stability that does not waver. The loner's presence restores balance in others. Without words, they teach control. Without command, they influence conduct. This is leadership through example, the power of peace embodied. In the end, detachment does not separate the loner from life. It unites them with it. To detach is to align with truth. Everything changes and nothing external belongs to us. By accepting this fully, the loner moves freely within the flow of time. Their actions remain sharp, their heart remains calm, and their spirit remains unbroken. Detachment is not withdrawal, it is liberation through mastery of self. There comes a moment when solitude no longer feels like separation, when silence no longer feels empty. The loner reaches this point not through withdrawal, but through transformation. Every step through isolation, discipline, endurance, and detachment has refined them into something complete. What once began as escape from noise has become a state of total control. The mind that sought peace has become peace itself. The world around them continues as before, loud, restless, impulsive, but it no longer dictates their rhythm. They move through it as through a storm already endured. The noise of opinion, the chaos of desire, the pace of distraction all exist, yet none reach within. The loner walks among these currents as still water among waves. They act cleanly, speak precisely, and remain steady when others scatter. This constancy is not forced. It is the natural expression of a disciplined life. In reflection, they understand what the path truly required. It demanded the surrender of dependence, the death of false identity, the acceptance of hardship, and the embrace of repetition. Through each stage, solitude, mastery, endurance, and detachment, they have learned that peace is not given, it is built. Each act of restraint, each moment of silence, each test of pain shaped them into something permanent. The mind that no longer resists life begins to direct it. The transformation is quiet but absolute. The loner no longer measures worth by recognition. Success and failure have equal weight. Praise and criticism dissolve before reaching emotion. Freedom no longer means the absence of constraint. It means perfect alignment between intention and conduct. The disciplined no longer live in reaction. They exist in direction. The result is unshakable presence. The calm that now defines them is not soft. It carries density, the weight of everything endured. Their silence holds history. Their restraint holds strength. The discipline they once practiced consciously now moves through them instinctively. They do not need to remind themselves of virtue or philosophy. Both have fused with identity. The person who once trained for composure now lives within it. This is mastery's final stage, the disappearance of effort. The loner's gaze shifts outward, not to rejoin the crowd, but to observe it with clarity. They see in others what they once fought within themselves, the pull of validation, the exhaustion of comparison, the restlessness of distraction. Yet they feel no contempt. Understanding replaces judgment. Having mastered themselves, they no longer seek to correct others. Influence becomes natural through example. Leadership through stillness is their quiet contribution. The life of the loner becomes structured simplicity. Morning brings movement, evening brings reflection, and each day stands complete in itself. There is no rush toward the future, no resistance to the past. Time flows through their awareness without distortion. Each action feels deliberate, measured, exact. This rhythm carries its own peace. To the untrained, it may appear rigid, but within it lies freedom, the freedom from inner conflict. Every hardship once faced now feels purposeful. Pain became knowledge. Solitude became alignment. Fatigue became transformation. The loner sees that nothing was wasted. The suffering that once felt isolating was the forge of their becoming. They are no longer the person who sought calm. They are the calm. Strength no longer appears as aggression, but as endurance. Power no longer demands recognition. It exists quietly, complete without witness. The loner now carries the world lightly. Loss does not shake them. Gain does not intoxicate. They have learned to see life as a series of seasons, each necessary, each fleeting. When winter comes, they endure. When spring arrives, they act. When summer blooms, they create. When autumn returns, they reflect. The cycle is accepted without resistance. This is harmony with fate, not surrender, but understanding. In stillness, wisdom becomes instinct. The loner does not need to recall the writings of Aurelius or Seneca to act wisely. The principles have become muscle memory. Reason directs without effort. Emotion obeys without suppression. The unity of these forces creates something unbreakable, a mind that cannot be corrupted by fear or distorted by pleasure. This balance is the natural end of discipline. The calm they carry affects the space around them. People sense stability in their presence. They listen more, speak less, and act without wasted motion. This influence is not ambition, it is gravity. The world is drawn to those who do not need it. In a culture built on reaction, one who stands unmoved becomes a point of orientation. This quiet power cannot be faked. It comes only from years of internal order, The loner has discovered that true authority is the absence of disturbance. The one who governs themselves commands the unseen. They no longer chase opportunity, they attract it. They no longer debate philosophy, they embody it. Detachment has purified conduct, endurance has fortified character. The result is not a hero, not a sage, but a human being operating in full control of themselves. In the later stages of this path, solitude changes meaning. It is no longer defined by physical distance or social withdrawal. It becomes the ability to remain centered in any environment. The loner can walk through noise and remain in silence. They can face conflict without losing calm. Their solitude is portable, it travels within them. This mobility is the mark of completion. The inner citadel has become permanent. At times, they still feel fatigue, but it no longer unsettles. Fatigue is understood as a rhythm of nature. Rest is taken not as escape, but as recalibration. Balance is maintained without analysis. This effortless self-regulation is what separates mastery from effort. The loner no longer thinks about discipline, they simply are disciplined. The repetition that once built control now sustains identity. The quiet joy that accompanies this state is subtle but powerful. It does not depend on excitement or reward. It lives in proportion, the right amount of everything, nothing in excess. The loner appreciates simplicity, light through a window, the sound of wind, the rhythm of breath. Gratitude replaces craving. They have become rich in stillness. Looking back, the loner understands that the journey was never about becoming untouchable. It was about becoming whole. The path did not lead away from the world, but through it, cleansing illusion, strengthening reason, and returning them to reality purified. The world has not changed. Perception has. Where once there was chaos, there is now clarity. The same life, seen through an ordered mind, feels entirely new. They carry no resentment toward those who could not follow. Each person must face their own noise, their own solitude, their own discipline. The loner knows that truth cannot be taught, only demonstrated. Their conduct becomes a quiet mirror in which others glimpse what peace looks like. Some will understand, most will not. It does not matter. Influence without intention is enough. The final lesson of the path is acceptance of self. The loner no longer divides life into before and after, struggle and peace, solitude and connection. Everything belongs. Every difficulty was essential, every silence instructive. This completeness removes the need for narrative. They do not see themselves as transformed, they see themselves as uncovered. The person beneath all fear and noise was always there, waiting to be lived. In this awareness, freedom feels simple. There is no desire to escape, no impulse to prove, no anxiety to maintain. Each day is approached as a single task, to live rightly, think clearly, and remain steady. This repetition defines eternity in motion. The loner has achieved what every philosophy points toward, but few embody, the ability to exist fully in alignment with reason, untouched by circumstance. The closing posture of the loner is silent authority. They no longer announce what they have learned. The lessons are visible in conduct, not words. Their presence carries the essence of the entire path. Discipline without rigidity, calm without indifference, solitude without distance. They move through life like a still flame, steady against all winds. This is the end and the beginning, the completion of a cycle and the continuation of its truth. The loner remains unchanged by fortune, unbroken by adversity, unshaken by time. Their power lies in simplicity, their peace in permanence. The world continues its noise, but within them there is only order. They have walked the full path of the loner, and in walking it, they have discovered the rarest freedom of all, the mastery of self.